Welcome back to the Brian Golf Show. It's presented by Pin Golf. We got the Pin Rangefinder here at the... Actually, we're almost sold out of what we have. We need to restock up with Pinned. They've got the new Ace, and it is a $300 rangefinder that you're going to get for less than $200 when you use the promo code Brian Golf. That's Brian Golf at pinnedgolf.com. I got actually the caddy from the past two tournaments that I played in, my good friend Nick Matthew on the podcast. We're going to get a caddy's point of view of what it's like golfing with me. But we used the Pinned rangefinder, the Ace, this past weekend, and to great success. Can't even tell the difference between that and a Bushnell. How about it? Except for the fact that it's like $100 cheaper. So that being said, Mr. Nick Matthew, long-time listener, first-time guest. How about that?
I like it.
That's where it's at. So you and I, we teamed up. You were nice enough to caddy for me at the U.S. Open qualifier,
yep.
Which I talked a little bit about on podcast. It didn't go so well. I think I shot 80. Did I shoot 80 or 82? I 82. Shot 82.
You got 10 over with that quad.
Forgot about the quad. Forgot about the quad and a couple doubles, I think. But the real goal this year was Florida Amateur qualifier. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to be the one to just spoil it now. I didn't get in, which is very sad. But felt like I'm going to do this. I'm going to set the table with, I prepared hard for it. I was in here grinding. You and I grinded. Thanks for going with me to Tallahassee, play Seminole Legacy. I made my man drive and everything. I was like, dude, I just need to like focus here. We get to the course, put in some work on the putting green. We get to sneak out on the golf course and actually play a lot of holes. Which was fantastic. So you got to see the golf course for the first time.
Yep.
Before anything, what did you think of Seminole Legacy Golf Club in Tallahassee?
It reminds me of Tennessee golf or something you wouldn't see ever in Florida. Like the hills and the undulations you see in the fairway. It's not just a flat golf course, which is pretty cool to see.
Well, it's not flat and it's not just in a housing community. It's not.
There's no houses. It's like
tons of lakes just for the hell of having ponds and lakes and water hazards.
Yep.
Yeah, it's actually like a real golf course. So this is where Florida State plays. So I've kind of talked about that a little bit. Played the golf course with our friend Derek and I loved it. So I signed up for the Florida Amateur qualifier there because I thought, you know what, I could play really well here. And I did play really, really well. So we'll just say this. I shot 75. 69 was the medalist. There's two of them. And then there was two rounds of even par. They, one of the guys, I know Flint Beckers, he's a member there. He's like a really good player. He's like one of the best players out at Seminole, not counting all the, you know, John Pack and all the guys from Florida State. I think John Pack's, like a week away from turning pro or something like that. So that being said, other than him, Flint's one of the good players out there, I know. So even par got in, and then there was 373s, 374s, and then I was the one guy that shot 75, and then a bunch of other scores out of everybody. Golf course was playing pretty easy, though. It was like as easy as that golf course could play. I know that for a fact. At 7,000 yards, believe it or not, that was as easy as that golf course could play.
Yeah, I think it is, but I also will say as somebody who didn't play it a lot, like the greens defend it very well. Like,
yes.
The greens make that course, even at 7,000 with your links, made it really hard to play for somebody who's not a regular there and can read it. And you heard Josh say it in the pro shop, right? He said 72 is a really good score, is what he said from the guy that shot it, the member, right?
Yeah, well, that guy actually said, the member, he said the course is playing as easy as he's ever seen it, and he shot 72.
And he shot 72, right?
And he plays there every day, right? So, yeah, so it is a tough golf course. There's some really good holes on it. It was a Jack Nicklaus redesign. If you're ever, for whatever reason, you find yourself in Tallahassee, which we'll just end the talk of Tallahassee right there. Mel made some comments about Tallahassee on here that had to get bleeped out, and I'm just going to say she probably was pretty accurate with her assessment of talent. So play the golf course if you ever get over there because it's legit, but it is kind of private. I think you've got
to private.
Yeah. Well, it's private, but I think if you're a Florida State student, then you obviously can play it. It's theoretically a public golf course
on campus and see if they'll take you out to play it.
Maybe who knows, but really cool golf course. So I'm not going to get to play at Florida Amateur Stream Song, which is, it was the number one goal of the year was to be able to get back to the Florida Amateur. And if you go through the round, I made four bogeys, one birdie, you could consider that birdie a bounce back birdie because I just three putt. It was my only three putt of the round. I made an amazing, what I think is an amazing run at a 40 or 50 footer on that par five, number four, skirt past the hole a few feet. And this is like the biggest thing is, and you did a good job of this the rest of the way, just telling me like, trust it, because we lined up the ball. It was aimed right where it needed to go. It's a three footer that was going to break a little bit, but for whatever reason, as I'm over the ball, I did what classic golfers do. And they go, why the fuck am I aiming this? Where this banging in the middle of the cup.
Yep.
Well, you can't do that at this golf course. Right. Like there was some massive grain, you know, I mean, that was just the thing is it's a new golf course. I don't know what kind of grass it is on it. They just redid it all within the last, I think 18 months. And it was just, the ball just ripped left.
And I'll say the thing for me on that one, on that three footer versus Plantation Bay or previous rounds I've played with you this year, I said, looked at you and said, what happened? You were able to tell me exactly. I didn't trust it, right?
Yeah.
There was no, we put in a lot of work on Sunday. There was no question about the stroke, no question about the putter. It was, I didn't trust it. You got over it real quick, obviously.
Right.
And then Sunday you said number five was the one hole you're worried about. You get up there, you know, grade eight iron to what, 10 feet?
Yep.
Sank a putt, bounce back birdie. So that was really big for me. Just watching you play was that was the difference, right?
Yeah.
You could tell me right away what was going on, why you missed it.
Well, think about, so I've been on this podcast and this might be the biggest takeaway from the podcast. From if you've listened and you're here partially like as Team Brian, which I appreciate anyone that's like Team Brian and listens to this podcast because you like to just hear me talk about golf. And I talk about myself a lot, obviously, as Brian Golf Show. That wasn't its intention, but it just kind of come that way because this is where my life is now with the shop and trying to play some competitive amateur golf. And I've been struggling with the putter, but I haven't just been struggling with the putter. It's been mental too. It's been like, you know, is this the right putter for me? Cool. Okay. Is this what's going to help me make more putts? Cool. Sometimes you get out there in a tournament situation and it's not cool. It's like you're shaking, you're nervous, whatever it may be. This is the first round I've ever played where I was not nervous over a single putt.
That's huge, right?
Not a single putt. It was amazing. And I think it boils down to two things. I'm going to throw some credit to my friend, Chris Baker, who was in here. I was just like heart to heart talking to him about putting. And he's like, dude, you just need a routine. Just get a routine, stick to your routine. And in here in the shop, it's very easy for me to just drop balls and hit putts. And he was watching me hit this putt. He's like, dude, you're going to make that putt. You putt that putt all the time. Like you're always going to make that putt. You can't just slap a ball down and putt it. And, so he said, look, you know, what do? You line up the ball. And I said, I do. I started lining up the ball. I started playing that Callaway triple track golf ball, even though I actually played the Callaway Chrome Soft LS, the XLS. And instead of using the triple track, I wrote my own triple track on there.
Basically, yep.
I like it a little bit better. Whatever, went to Edwin Watson, bought one of those little things, you know, write the lines on them, three lines. I like it. But he was just like, when you're in here, you got to go through your routine. If you want to make a putt and you want to like prepare yourself, you've got to have that routine. And so in here, I would say 80, 90% of my putts, I'll sit back and, you know, and I'll.
Yeah, if you're not grabbing just a putter just to hit one or two before you're going to go do something else.
Absolutely.
That's different for me to see is you used to just get up there and you look comfortable. Like,
right.
You look really comfortable, right? And it, going up to Plantation Bay, you looked comfortable. And then we get out there, and you're just kind of all over the place, right?
It's true. That's a true green, assessment.
Your stroke was not the same, right? There's, like, your transition from backstroke to forward stroke and your putter. Like, all of it was just kind of all over the place. So, Sunday, we spent, what, 3-4 hours on the putting green?
Yeah.
Right?
Well, you got to count. If we spent 3 hours on the putting green, how much time do we spend putting to certain holes out on the golf course too?
Yeah.
And we talked about it yesterday. It's like, wow, this is so why PGA Tour pros spend time Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Right.
You know, they spend so much time practicing around the greens.
That's
and
why
it's
you
like,
felt so comfortable yesterday, right? We spent so much time and we had set up putts. We did the fill drill, right?
Yeah.
The 3 foot, the tees in a circle.
I love that. That and was that, your call.
That puts,
I loved it.
That puts some good pressure on you, right? Saying you want to get even, Phil says make it to 100, right? I think that's something to work to.
Yeah.
But even if you're, say, making it to 24 or 30, right? That 23rd, 24th putt, knowing that, you know, because I was sitting there counting out loud every time you make one, to be like, all right, you got 10 more. All right,
and you do get more, but there's more pressure that builds in a putting drill like that.
So, but it was good. You had a couple times where you had at least, you got out of your routine. You knew it though. Like it wasn't a question mark anymore. It's now, I know why I missed it.
Yep.
All right, let's go back.
It was big. So that was step one, was that little, whatever it was, even maybe the confidence from Bake just saying like, dude, you're a good putter, just go do this. And I was like, whoa, okay. All right, well, that's going to bode well for me, you know, and then preparing the way we did, you know, as far as the night before, all that falls under one big roof to me, one big, you know, that's one and then one B would be, I put a new putter in the bag like a week ago, 2 weeks ago, the new Cobra with Sick Face putter technology. I got the Cobra King. I have the Agera, which is, I mean, it is a face balance mallet. I threw my own Stability Tour shaft in there from Breakthrough Golf Technology. And I obviously I'm comfortable with it.
Right.
Then I started messing with it and I put a 75 gram counterweight in the butt end of it. And then I switched to the claw. Now, I know this sounds like I just changed a bunch of things, so like right before a tournament. Dude, I've been working on this shit for like weeks and months, okay?
The claw's not a new thing.
The claw is not a new thing.
Right?
It's not a new thing. I know we were talking about it. Like Phil Mickelson, at one point, I think he was putting pretty conventional.
Yeah.
And then he just felt the claw like I needed.
He said I felt tension in my arms, right? Tension in my hands, and that was just one way to take it out.
So. Go to the claw. So I
remember you using the claw on and off when we first met, right? You had the lab putter.
Yeah.
Way back, you know, 2 years ago, whenever it was.
I think one of the best rounds I played with you is like the first time we played at Fleming. I think I was clawing it back then with the lab.
I called it the easiest 68 I've ever seen at Fleming Island.
It was, yeah.
Because it was an intense round. Like we were having a good time, you know, talking, chatting, and then all of a sudden I'm on 18, and I'm like, he's got an eagle putt for 67.
Yeah, how funny is that? So those scores just fell off my handicap, by the way. So my handicap has gone up from where it was to where it is. I am now a 1.5. A week ago, I was a 0.8, and a 1.5. That's like playing Tim Aquana. Now, shooting 75 on this golf course is basically like shooting even par as far as...
Yeah,
like
I think they rated it 74 point something, right?
Yeah, basically. So that was the neither here nor there. But tournament-wise, I felt so much more comfortable. So where did I lose strokes? There was obviously the three-footer.
Yeah.
But... I feel like I earned the right to wash that.
With that birdie on
five. With the birdie on five.
Yep.
Like, I just feel like that totally cancels out, and I can't take anything negative away from that. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, and don't stroke my ego, but I feel like that if you were the two kids that played with us, who are alternates right now, hopefully they get in. I'd love to see those kids get in. You would think I am a phenomenal fucking putter.
I would.
Like, this dude makes fucking everything.
Right.
I didn't. What's crazy is the par putts and even a couple bogey putts, namely on 18. And you got to think number 18, I, regardless of anything, I'm thinking of it. And I've been in this position before. I'm thinking if I don't make this 12 footer, 15 footer, I don't know, 12 footer.
Yeah.
If I don't make this 12 footer and I make double bogey on 18, I definitely am not even close to becoming an alternate.
Right.
Right. Because I was thinking I was 75 is like,
could be the number.
It's like the gateway for an alternate. Yeah. Right. And I would be, there's not a seventh alternate, but that's where I would be on their list. I'm the one shot out of the alternate list. So my time is done. Unless the FSGA wants to give me a Ricky Fowler exemption.
I take it, right?
You're going to give me one of those. I don't know. Be a great ambassador for the Florida and stream song.
Who do we need to call for
that? Can I be the honorary honorary T? What, a Jack Nicklaus and Gary Player?
Lee starter. Elder.
Yeah, the starter. Oh, my God. That'd be amazing. But like I made that putt on 18. Like, so for me, that was a massive pressure putt.
Right.
I need to make that putt. Right. And I made it. And that was just like, it's so easy to be pissed off. And I'll say this to anybody. It's so easy to be so mad, but you've got to like look back. I'm playing these tournaments to learn. So that way when I, you know, have it all going, my ball striking's A+, my driving's A+, my putting is A+, all of that. Then all of a sudden it's like, yeah, I've been ready for this. And now my 75 turns into a 65 because I just, everything's, you know, fucking on point. But, I did that on, what hole? Not counting the birdie putt.
I think 8 was a big putt, right?
8.
Remember you had like a, it was like a 4-footer coming back?
No, 8 I had, 8's the one I bogeyed. 8's the short putt 4. But I'm saying
that you have a bogey putt coming back, right?
Did I blow that par putt by?
It was downhill. I don't think you blew it by. I think downhill, down grain, it just kind of took it, but...
Yeah.
Because I remember sitting there thinking, like, I knew the goal, no doubles, right? Mm-hmm. That's what we talked about on Sunday was keep it in play, no doubles. Let's see where we go. So, you know, your hybrid off the tee wasn't bad. It just kind of got out of position a little bit. So chip out a wedge to maybe 12 feet downhill, down grain.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
I remember thinking on that 4-foot comebacker, like, this is, for me, that would be a stressful putt, right?
But and it,
again,
it was. Yeah. But, again,
but you were able to pick out a line. Tell you to trust it, you trusted it, just bang it right home. So to me, like, that putt right there is big.
Number 12. So number 12, I had to actually hit over the shitter. So I had a rules official right next to me. And I was like, I really want to hit this under those trees, but this bathroom is in my way. I can clearly just go under through the canopy of the bathroom, but it's like now there's trees and there's posts, you know, there's all this thing for the bathroom. And I'm like,
25-foot window, you now have a 5-foot window.
Exactly. So I'm like, well, this is out of a kind of a shit lie. So I'm like, well, screw this. Right. But I hit a terrible drive. I just hit it dead left and tried to cut it. And it just, there was like 3 times where I tried to cut it and it just went dead left.
Kind of all on the front nine, right? 1, 2, and 5.
I got away with 2. And then the par, what's the par 5 on the back? 14. Yeah. I got away with that. But no, so I hit it over the trees, over the shitter, over the trees, which apparently was, I mean, it was as good as I could have done, but I still had like a 40-yard chip up the hill.
Yep.
And I remember hitting that chip going, what the hell are you scared of? Like, I hit it 15 feet past it, maybe more.
Yeah.
And I downhill putt, I drained it. And it was like, holy shit. If I know beggars can't be choosers, but if I would have made, how many times did I have a birdie putt from that exact same distance?
Right.
Or maybe 5 feet farther. I had a lot of 20 footers.
Yeah.
And they were all reasonable.
They're all close, right?
They were all worth, like, either, man, that could have gone in.
Maybe drain pulled it just a little bit, or the pace is off just a touch.
Who knows? So I on the way home, I was very satisfied.
Yeah.
Laying in bed last night, I was very pissed off.
Right.
I was like, because I was talking to Mel, and Mel in a moment of clarity or something, she was being so sweet. And like supportive of golf last night. She's like, man, she goes, you could easily shot 72. And I was like, oh, I know.
Right.
But I'm like laying in bed thinking about it. And I'm just like, you son of a bitch. Like, what the hell, man? And it was a few tee shots, really. When I really think about it, the bogeys I made, not counting a really bad swing I made on 13, I made a bogey. I made a great bogey there. I two chipped and still had to hit like a 15 footer, 12 footer or something.
Right.
A tough one that was like, I banged it in there though. That was the firmest putt I hit.
Yeah.
Cause I was like, grain ain't getting me here. So I banged that one home. But every bogey I made was a chip out bogey or an advanced bogey. Like, and that just sucks. Like, but that's the difference to me in playing a golf course like Seminole Legacy versus playing a golf course like, I'll just go really kind of basic golf course in Jacksonville, but like Eagle Harbor. Yep. You miss the fairway, you do not chip out, you're dropping, and you're having a really tough go at it, right? So at least this is a golf course where you can chip out. my chip out game is decently strong, but two times I put myself in a position where I was short-sighted in a bunker. The only two bunkers I was in, I was short-sighted in a bunker. Yep. And it's just like, damn it. You know, like, what am I doing here? 18 was borderline impossible. I hit maybe a B bunker shot, not an A bunker shot, and it still was 40 or 50 feet away.
Right, down grain, downhill, away from you.
The back half of that green doesn't even exist. It just goes down.
I didn't realize it was there from down below. Like, we didn't play 18 on Sunday. Yeah. I saw it from a distance, and we talked about, like, lines off the tee, but we jumped to one.
Right.
And so when I see your ball go, I'm automatically thinking, all right, we got to chip back up for an up and down for bogey.
Right.
And then I see you just drop your hand me your wedge, and I didn't want to say anything, but their back part, like, are we putting off the fringe now?
Oh, yeah. It was that deep. That was that deep.
A 5-foot fall off to the back.
Big time. So, good round of golf, though. So, if I'm gonna grade it, this is going to be a complete reversal of the last tournament. Mm-hmm. And I would have to start with putting and say my putting was an A.
Yeah.
Not going to give it like an A+. Not going to give it an A-. It's like a straight A.
It was solid. It was steady. It was what you needed it to be. And I would say, I would argue, if we had your irons from Sunday and your putting from Monday, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think
we just hit it that much closer.
Yeah.
I mean, really.
Like, you think about like the par fives and some of the par fours we played on Sunday. You eagled four.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
On Sunday.
Yeah.
You hit a 5-iron to like 8 feet, and you just walked up and just made the putt.
Yeah.
And then we played again on Monday for the tournament, and
Driver five iron. Same exact thing. Same ball, too. Same ball. I just hit it a little better.
Yeah, you just caught a little more flush. So you had a long putt, and then we, like you talked about, you missed a little.
Yeah, a little bunny. Putt,
right?
But I don't know. So putting's got to be an A, though. Even with the three putt, it was the best I've putted since the Florida, the FSGA Winter Series at Jack's Beach that I putted really well at, which obviously you didn't see that, but it was very similar.
Yeah.
I mean, very similar with a missed 3-footer for birdie on a par five. Damn it. What is going on here? I don't know. That one was actually the exact same putt. A little right to lefter that.
It's hard to trust those.
When you're within
like 3 or 4 feet and you're taking it either like one ball out or more.
Yeah.
Like, it's hard to trust.
Yeah. This one was like a right edge putt that I missed here in Seminole. And it's like a right edge putt, and I just put it right in the middle left or whatever, and it just went.
Your line was right edge. You just didn't trust it standing over it because you're looking at the edge almost in grass.
Yeah.
Versus the hole, and you just it's hard to trust those, right?
Are you doing that from three feet, right?
So that's why I tried to tell you the rest of the round, like when you committed to it, and there were a couple times where you saw something I didn't see, or vice versa, right?
Yeah,
commit to that spot, right? Let's pick out a spot 5 or 6 feet in front. If it's a longer putt, you want to roll over that spot. That's all you're focusing on, right?
Right.
Focus on the grain. Focus on the distance. I'll also say pacing it off was big for you yesterday.
Oh my God. Can we talk about that? Does anybody pace it off? Cause I just started pacing off putters, and I told you that I used to play with my boss all the time, and he would pace them off. And I'm like, what are you doing, man? And it's like, I pace off my putts, meaning he just walks it off and gets it, you know, hey, 12 paces, this putt's 12 paces. That way he kind of has maybe a ground zero, like a middle ground for things. And I used to make fun of him for it. Dude, just look at the hole, feel it, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. But I would say that's a big part for you yesterday. We'd look for both sides, and then you would say to yourself, all right, that's 8 paces.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And I told you, I consistently putt from 8 to 10 paces.
Yeah.
In here, 6 paces.
Yeah.
From hole to hole. So. But it is just my whole thing is like, I just discovered playing all the time, I'm always in that 10 pace, that 10 paces range. That's where I hit my irons too. So whatever that is. But yeah, to your point, it was big because it did give me a little sense of comfort. There was multiple times. I'm going to stress this. The biggest thing I've learned is definitely routine, preparation to help you feel more comfortable.
Yeah.
It's not just like preparation to practice and all that. It's like, no. Like if you put in the work on day 1, 2, and 3, by day 4, whatever it is, you're going to be that much more comfortable. And that's how it was. And I didn't understand that until really, really doing it right. Yeah. And
I mean,
and
I don't think it's even
time.
Prep to know the golf, like knowing the golf course helps, right?
Yeah.
It's the prep of being on that grass, on that putting green. We, you know, the perfect putter, we took it out.
Oh yeah, that thing's amazing. $300, go buy one.
Figured out some putts, marked them down, and then we spent the first couple hours on the putting green of you just knowing the putt, but just that routine, yeah, getting comfortable on the grass, getting comfortable where you're at, and then I think that played a big role on Sunday.
Well, and how different when we did the perfect putter on Sunday night, how different was the first 30 minutes of that versus the first 30 minutes tournament morning?
Oh, totally different.
Like, right. I was making majority of the putts in the morning versus it took me 30 minutes to discover. So that's just it. Think about it this way. When we showed up to Plantation Bay, and I can also say this about almost any tournament I've ever played in, when we showed up to Plantation Bay, it was like, show up, hit some putts, done.
Yep.
What did we putt for, 20 minutes?
Yeah.
Something like that?
Maybe.
Okay, well, if we did that same thing at Seminole Legacy.
Completely different round of golf.
Dude, the first 30 minutes of perfect putter practice on the putting green, like, you know, we spent 30 minutes getting the lines, marking the lines, marking everything. Sorry, Seminole Legacy, I drew some lines in a green. That was terrible. Like, it was terrible first 30 minutes. It was like, maybe I'd make one out of every five.
Yeah. I'm sitting here thinking, what is this coming back to what you were doing at Plantation Bay, right? Is it the confidence in the stroke? Is it your stroke? Is it your head?
Right.
Right? And all of a sudden, about 30 minutes in, something clicked where you were, you know, very spotty, 30, 40%. And we're talking 12-foot putts, right?
Breaking 12-foot putts.
Yeah, we're like a foot outside the hole at 12
feet.
Got to
get speed and line right.
So we're at, you know, maybe 30% the first 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there just like, oh, goodness, like, this is going to be a long day. And all of a sudden, we're hitting 5 for 5, 5 for 6 consistently for the next hour and a half.
Yeah.
And I think that played a big part in Monday, right?
Yeah. No, that was a big part of it. So I can brush up in less than a couple minutes. I can just tell you, irons, I don't remember what grade I gave them for Plantation Bay, maybe a C or a C minus, something like that, because they didn't strike it well. Mm-hmm. I did strike it better with my irons.
Definitely.
I just hit maybe 2 or 3 irons that just weren't as straight as I'd like them to be. Like, I pulled one on a par 3 that was, it was a massive pull hook. Yep. I don't know where that came from necessarily. It comes from trying to hit a fade. Mm-hmm. When I try to hit a fade, sometimes I do the double cross.
Right.
When I just let the ball fade, you know, I probably got to get more back to something like that.
We didn't even talk about that bogey putt.
Barely. I two chipped and I hit like a 12. That's the one that I said I banged. Yeah. I banged in there to not let it.
But so still, it
was massive.
That's huge, right?
It was massive. So that's why the putting gets the A. I'm going to give irons a B minus, but only because I'm counting all approaches to the green. So I'm counting every 46 degree, 50 degree, 56 and 6. Yep. You know what I'm saying? Overall approach, like, to the green.
Play.
Exactly. I just feel really comfortable with the golf club in my hand.
Yeah.
Every once in a while you make a bet, you know, like on the one par 3, number 3, I came out of that 6 iron a little bit. That was one of the least comfortable shots, period, that I'm going to hit on that golf course anyway. Mm-hmm. And, I, you know, thin heeled it, had a long putt, but two putted.
Yeah. So walk away with par.
Like, calms you down. Yeah. Calms you down. Feels good. But irons, I'll give a B minus just because I'm including wedges. If we were doing like wedges, I hit my wedges to 15 feet all day, whether it was for par or whether it was for bogey, you know, or whatever I was doing, meaning whether I was hitting it in my second shot or a third shot because I'm on my chip out holes or something like that. Like, I hit a good wedge on number 8.
With any wedge, 46 degrees to 60, you were very comfortable all day saying, this is my yardage.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And it was one of those things,
too. If it were in between,
yeah,
you know, I would say, hey, I'd rather you hit this than that. And you'd say, I like it. You committed to it and went, and it was solid.
Well, 17 is a good wedge, right?
Yeah.
So, like, the hardest thing to do is take a club that's supposed to go 140 and hit it 124.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when your 50 degree goes 124,
yeah.
And you just hit it 124 on the hole before, but the wind was a little different, it was a little more uphill. So, you know, but I remember that shot, and you got to think, like, I'm thinking birdie, I'm back in it. I'm two over. I know even par is going to get it.
Yeah.
It's going to get something. And I'm thinking birdie. And I hit that wedge. It's a feel wedge. And as soon as I hit it, I was like, well, it's the right yardage. And it looked like it was a little short, but we got up there and it was a yard short of pin high.
Yeah.
So it was.
You said that so quick off your swing. Like,
absolutely.
It was almost like you had your GC quad out there.
Well, that's a big part of the wedges. My wedge distances are pretty dialed, and a lot of it's because of the practice in
you
here.
Knew it right away. Quad. Like, it was literally in your follow swing. That's the right yardage.
Yeah.
I'd step back like, whoa.
Yeah. Well, that's good. So those are good. Driving, I will give, I'll give a C+. It didn't kill me, but it definitely cost me 2 or 3 strokes. It put too much pressure on my short game.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the issue, is having to get up and down. And the couple times I had to get up and down, while I succeeded a couple times, because I hit 13 greens, and three of those greens I had no opportunity to hit, or four of those greens I had no opportunity to hit.
Yeah.
So I only got up and down on those chip out situations the one time out of four.
Yeah.
When you really think about it, it's almost like I only missed one green. Where I was.
Where you were in position to go for it, right?
Position, yeah. That's why the irons and the wedges, they all get like a C+, or whatever I said, a B-. But the driving is like C+, because I hit some drives that were perfect, and then I hit some drives that were, they're just poles.
Yeah.
Other than 18, everyone needs to know number 18, it's not like Oakmont, but think of it as like Oakmont, where down the left, you hit in those bunkers, just not an easy shot. It's not an easy play. It's not what you want on the 18th hole. You know, so like with that, I hit it, tried to hit it off the bunkers with a cut. It started kind of more left center of fairway and cut, and it went like 308 yards from the tee, and I was too far.
Such a well-struck ball. It just went through the fairway.
It almost
feels like on that hole, looking back, like I see why it's rated and why they did what they did. It's almost like you take like a hybrid and just play short of everything and then have like a
from that
6-7 iron, right?
Yeah, from that hole. Well, no, it would have been because I had 150 in. So, I mean, yeah. It would have been like hybrid or hybrid 5-iron.
Hybrid 5-iron.
In hindsight,
knowing you're going to go through, it's almost like go back and do that, right?
Yeah, maybe, right? Or just commit a little bit better. It's all about commit. So
committing to those lines. And like we talked about that hybrid on 8, right? They got out of position. It's hard. Your play for that club, your new hybrid is, that doesn't go left.
Have you ever seen that one go left?
Never.
Yeah.
Right? And
period.
You said it driving up there, and I'm like, yeah, everybody says that, right? But the whole range session Sunday, every time you hit it Monday morning and on the range or on the course, it never went left. So it's so hard to commit to a water line, like right where the land meets the water as your starting line.
Yeah.
Because for that club, it's either going to end up on the left side of the fairway or you're right over that little bunker that you wanted to carry.
Yeah.
Right.
What sucks is I was like I hit it 10 yards farther yesterday in the round than in the practice round.
Right. And I don't know if you just got a perfect, like, I call it perfect, like a really good bounce off of there that just skirted it, or
maybe
because I don't think
I think I just nuked it.
Yeah,
I think I was just
I
think
Hercules Brian for a little bit.
I think I just nuked it, dude. I don't know, man. But all I know is I got to figure out what I'm doing next because I want to compete again,
right?
Like tomorrow. And the only thing I got is potentially Florida Open.
Yeah.
That's tougher to qualify for that than it is for the Florida Amateur.
But I think you continue on the trajectory you're on, right? And you can put yourself in position.
Absolutely.
Like, you continue working on what you've been working on and grinding like you've been grinding. And if the difference from Plantation Bay to yesterday continues to Florida Open, which you said is, what, a month away?
Yeah, it'd be June.
Yeah.
June qualifiers.
Yeah. So you continue that trajectory. You can, you've kind of figured out what you're working on, where you're working on, and then started to dial it in. And I think you can get there.
Yeah.
Even if it's a tougher qualifier.
I agree. And this was a tough site. There was only four spots. There's only 33 players. You got to think everyone, Tallahassee is going to go there. You know, they're going to, all the best from Tallahassee are going to be at that one. So 69 to 72 got in, and that's some high scores, but you go to yesterday at Blue Monster, who knows where they played that one, you know, as far as where they played that one, as far as distance goes and whatnot, but obviously it's a little bit crazier golf course, but 77 got in, and that was 7, 8, 9, 10 spots qualified. Yeah. So there's a little bit of gamesmanship. You got to be smart about where you pick it. But I love that golf course. I'd go back to Seminole Legacy tomorrow. Minus, they asked on the way, are you going to do the U.S. amateur qualify here? And I was like, fuck no. Going to go play with FSU's best. I'm not going to go play with those guys.
Go take on.
You kidding me?
What was the guy you played with the first time?
Cole Anderson. With Cole Anderson.
Go play with Cole.
Dude, had a good showing at regionals there at that golf course for NCAA. So they'll be on their way to the national championship. Not that I'm a Seminoles fan, but I almost bought a Tervis. I was like, did you buy it? I'm like, no, I didn't think you'd want it.
She asked if you're going to buy it because we looked at it and said, you know, she's going to say you have too many cups. You don't need it.
But like, it goes back to that whole thing. I sit there and go, what are we doing here? Like, I'm not a Seminoles fan, but the Seminole Legacy Golf Course logo is pretty dope. So, haven't mentioned yet, and we're just going to brush up on it very quickly. Phil Mickelson winning the PGA Championship is the coolest thing ever.
It was so awesome.
It's like the consolation prize to not qualifying for the Florida Amateur. At least Phil Mickelson won the PGA Championship, which is so cool. So I don't know.
Just hitting bombs all day.
I love everything about it. The Brooks Koepka shit. I was showing Mel last night, the Brooks Koepka complaining about the knee, and she's like, what a pussy, da-da-da-da-da. And I'm borderline like, nah, they need some security, but I'm also like, yeah, dude, just shut up. Don't mention it.
Yeah.
Like, show a sign of strength and just get hit like Rocky and get back up again. Like, don't worry about it. And then him in that video that's going viral, how that got released is beyond me.
Well, he said, we're going to cut it and start over. And he said, I don't even care if you release it.
Did he really?
Or something to that effect. Like, I don't even care.
Wow. The him with Bryson.
Bryson in the middle spikes,
right? What the hell? It is. I can't believe he's that bold with it, his hatred of Bryson. But you gotta definitely look at that guy and Bryson and go, yeah, these guys would not like each other whatsoever.
Yeah, you take one that says he doesn't like to play golf when he's not playing in a tournament to one that grinds like nobody grinds, right?
Right. I don't know. Brooks Koepka grinds. I think Brooks Koepka grinds, but I think he's grinding on a lot of other things. And he doesn't make it a big to-do.
That's what I'm saying. Like Bryson, he says when he's home and on vacation, right? He's like on vacation.
Yeah.
And he's come out and said that. Like, if I have an off day, I'm not going to be on the golf course. Like, that's what I'm saying. He's come out and said that, where Bryson's off day is, you know, in some homemade swing lab where he's trying to hit you know, Kyle Berkshire bombs all day.
Right. Yeah. I don't know if Bryson has. I'm very curious of what Bryson's life is right now, other than golf, workout, golf, all that. So that's that. But
he did fly home to Charlotte, right? Caught a workout and flew back.
Yeah. From Charlotte, he goes back to Texas, got a workout because he thought he was going to. That was hilarious, man. It's just a lot of funny storylines going on right now on the PGA Tour.
Yeah.
I think Mel and I are trying to go to the Palmetto something open. I think Bake's playing at Congaree, which is a badass golf course that it replaced the RBC Canadian Open the schedule for this year because of, you know, COVID
and travel.
But yeah, so I think we're going to try and go to that.
That'd be really cool.
Hopefully we can do that. Women's British Open's coming up. I'm going to try and get a really special guest on. I'm not going to mention who that is yet just in case it doesn't succeed. But I'm going to try and get probably a phone call because I don't know where she's at. But
right, that'd be fun.
Try and get one of those players. We were talking a little bit about her clubs yesterday, and so it's at Carnoustie, which is a dream course of mine. So I want to pick a brain on it. We'll go from there. Nick Matthew, thanks for hopping on the pod. I really enjoyed walking with you. Well, you walked. I enjoyed you walking and caddying while I rode around in a golf cart all cush. I am sore for whatever reason after 2 days of that shit. So, you know,
like I said, I think the 4 hours on the putting green just straight. Just that position.
Quad stability, man. I got KT tape on my quads today. My wife's going to make fun of me. So, all right, man. Thank you for hopping on. Yep. And thank you all for listening. Appreciate it. Next week, we're going to be very club focused on the podcast. I'm letting everybody know. We're doing a very golf equipment-centric podcast next week. Maybe I can get Johnny Wander on. I like Johnny.
That'd be fun.
And he's smart. All right, brother. Thanks again, and thank you for listening. We'll talk to you next week on the Brian Golf Show, presented by Penn Golf.